Friends, we turn now to our reading from 2 Timothy chapter 4. We'll be reading verses 6 through 8. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. I know I have shared with you before that there was once a period in my life when I was an active athlete, a runner. My junior year, I came back, started running cross country, and we had a senior on the team who the only reason he wanted to run was so that he could get in shape for wrestling. He needed to trim the weight, stay active, build the muscle, all of that, and so he ran with us. And he wasn't half bad as a runner, but he didn't know how to pace himself. It actually worked out quite well for me because he would sprint as fast as he could the first mile of the 5K. And he became for me what we called a rabbit. He would take off and I would run right next to him the entire mile. And then after he hit the first mile mark, he would just die. And he would peter out and he would come in somewhere in the 50s or 60s at the end of the race. Well, I was usually first, second, or third that junior year. And I attribute my success as a junior in cross country to James, my friend, who ran that first mile with me. But he was never satisfied. Being a very competitive guy himself, he was never happy with coming in at the end of the race. He never achieved the prize that he wanted. And it goes to show that it matters just as much how you finish the race as how you start the race. And that's what Paul is writing to Timothy in our reading today. Paul is writing because he's facing certain death in prison. He knows his time is near. These are his final words to Timothy. He's hoping that Timothy will come and meet him and care for him. But he also knows that that might never happen. And so he's giving his charge, and we read this the week before Easter, saying, now that I am leaving, your charge is to preach the gospel and to fulfill your ministry. And here we read him say to Timothy, you need to finish well. I don't want to make grand comparisons between myself and Paul, but I'm leaving. And some of the words that we read this morning, the time of my departure has come. It's upon us. And one of the things that I wanted to get to as we now get to this passage is an encouragement to this church and to myself. We need to finish our ministry well. So following these three verses we've got before us, let us learn and try to attend to what Paul is saying about how we finish our ministry well today. The first thing we see is this. In order to finish well, you have to begin well. You have to start off right and maybe have the right understanding of why we're even here in ministry or in this race that is before us. Paul uses two metaphors to describe his death. The metaphors he gives about his death say a lot about how he viewed his life. He knew the course that was laid out before him. He knew where he was going from the very beginning. He's saying first, my life is already being poured out as a drink offering. Now, that's a little strange for us because we're not familiar with the sacrificial system of the Old Testament, but Paul was, and he knew it intimately. And the drink offering was a quart of wine that the priest would pour out on the altar as the sacrifice was being burned. And that wine being poured out over this burning sacrifice made a very pleasant aroma that filled the room. It was an addition to the sacrifice that brought pleasure to God. And Paul is saying that his life has been given and will be sacrificed for the sake of the gospel, because he believes and he teaches us that we are to live our lives as a sacrifice pleasing before the Lord. Our lives are a sacrifice, a living offering pleasing to the Lord. You don't serve Christ in order to get praise and acclaim from others. You serve Christ as an act of worship towards God. From the very beginning to the very end of your life, a life of faith is a life of sacrifice and devotion to the Lord. If you face persecution for the sake of Christ, even death as we read about it today in the news, your life is lived for God. And that's what Paul is saying. My life has been poured out as a sacrifice, pleasing to him. Is your life an offering to the Lord? Are you serving at his pleasure today? Paul also gives another metaphor. He says, the time of my departure is at hand. And I love the Greek, and I know you've heard me give a lot of Greek explanations. The word departure here in Greek is analyze. We're thinking, well, how do you get analyze to departure? Well, in the Greek, analuso, or analyze, means to take something that's very complex and break it up into simple elements. That's where we get analyze. It started with a naval term where you would loose a ship from its moorings, where you would let it go out to sea. And Paul is saying that his life is coming to an end, and he's facing a departure where his life would be broken apart. And he would be separated from this life, but go on and depart to a new life, an even better life. While he was in prison and under behind the bars and chained with shackles, he was being set free, unloosed to a new and better life. With this view of departing, Paul could finish well because he could live without fear. He could live even in anticipation, knowing that to depart this life was to go to be with Christ, and it was so much better. This kind of view of our life helps us begin the race well. We know that we live, we move, we serve, we even die to bring pleasure and glory and honor to God. To finish well, we have to begin well, and to finish well, we also have to engage in the race. You will not finish well if you are simply coasting through. Paul says in verse 7, I have fought the good fight. He's using another athletic metaphor, either of a wrestling match or a race. It conveys the idea that the Christian life is not a sunny afternoon park picnic, but rather a struggle against the forces of evil in the world and in our own lives. You are either killing sin, or sin is killing you. This is the fight, the good fight, the fight of the gospel of Jesus Christ for the glory of God and for the salvation of the souls. You are either taking a stand against sin in your own life, or you are allowing sin to grow and take a greater hold. You are either working to bring righteousness and peace into the lives of those around you, or you are letting sin develop and grow in their lives. Are you engaged in the fight? Paul says we must fight the good fight and we must finish the race. One of my worst days, my junior year in cross country, was at our home meet. We were on course, me and another group of guys from another town, to actually shatter the high school record in cross country at that meet. We were on course for running a 15-minute 5K. And at the 2-mile mark, we had just climbed this monster hill on the golf course. And I get to the top of that hill and turn the corner to start descending, and my hamstrings cramp up. And I go to the ground. I couldn't even straighten my leg. That week, in the paper next to my name, were three letters. D-N-F. Did not finish. The home meet my junior year, I couldn't even complete the course. Friends, we are on a race. And it is more of a marathon than a sprint, this Christian life. The sprint requires a short burst of energy. You're out the gate and you're done. And some Christians are like that. They're full of enthusiasm for a short time, but then it dies. The marathon, on the other hand, calls for staying power and the determination to keep going, putting one foot in front of the other, in spite of all the struggles of the flesh and the world and the devil that brings. There are times when you want to stop, when you have to catch your breath and regroup, but you are never out of the race. The fight is never over. You can't drop out. Hang in with the Lord through the tough times. Trust in his strength so that you can look back at the end and say with Paul, I have finished the course. Getting back up is what matters. I will say, just as a personal point of pride here, and maybe I should just not mention this, but the very next week, I finished the race, and I ran a 1604 5K, which still is on the record board at my high school. I had to get back up. I had to finish the race. You fight the good fight, you finish the race, you keep the faith. When Paul says that he has kept his faith, he means that he has carefully guarded the truth about Jesus Christ that God had entrusted to him. He had not bought into any of the many errors about Christ that were circulating in his day. His life and his teaching had held to sound doctrine. Friends, you can't keep a faith that you're not clear about. To be able to look back on your life and to say what Paul says, I have kept the faith, you need to be clear about the essentials of your faith. It is under attack today, just as it was in Paul's day. So sink down deep roots into sound doctrine. Know your scriptures. Know what you believe so that you're not tossed around by all the winds of false doctrine today. Keep the faith. To finish well, you must start well. You have to engage in the race. And you also have to keep your eyes on the prize. Paul says in verse 8, henceforth, this is one of the most beautiful passages in all of Paul's writing, henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. There is laid up for each of us a crown of righteousness. In Roman competitive events, fighters competed for a laurel, a crown, a wreath. A crown that, while it brought great glory, would fade over time. I believe that Paul is using that imagery and giving us another picture of the crown of righteousness that has been laid up for him. A crown that will be awarded to him on the day when Christ sits in judgment over all creation. I don't know if it's a literal crown, but I believe it to be the reward of eternal life that is given to the believer as the ultimate goal of a life of faith. We will be crowned in the eternal righteousness and the goodness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as he covers us with robes of his righteousness, as his banner over us is love, so his crown over us will be a crown of eternal glory and righteousness. And it's not just a reward that's promised to Paul, but it's a reward for all who love his appearing, all those who trust in Christ and have their hearts set upon his return and are anxiously waiting until the day when they will see him. Beloved in Christ, I urge you to finish well the race that is set before you. Here's the thing. This church is almost celebrating its 150th anniversary. That's a long time in ministry. I've been here 9 years of that. You here have been here a whole lot longer. And the church will be here a whole lot longer after I am gone and after you are gone. But as you have your ministry here, and as the church comes together as a whole in ministry, as a body, finish and run toward the end of that race well. Run the race that is set before you. Know that in life and in death we belong to God and our lives are a fragrant offering before him. Know that it matters how you run the race, engaging in the struggle for Christ, never dropping out of the race, guarding the truth of the gospel, and keep your eyes on the prize. that eternal weight of glory that is prepared and set aside for you in Jesus Christ. In this way, friends, you will finish well for the glory of our Lord. Amen.